This is not a test, but it is a self-evaluation question. Are you a joy giver? Were you able to bring joy to anybody's life this week? That's been a bit of a theme in the radio churches that I've been presenting recently, so I thought I'd better keep it going. And it's just what the book of James calls on us to do, as James encourages us to put our faith into action. Today we're up to part 6 in the series. Just one more to go after this. However, if you've missed the others, no need to worry. Each part is a complete unit in itself. But by way of reminder, and for the benefit of those who may have missed out, let's summarise some key points that we have learned from our journey through the Epistle of James so far. In the first part, we learnt to speak to others in a kind and gentle way, and then to serve the poor and all people equally. An emphasis on not discriminating. The third part was to be wholeheartedly devoted to God, even through diverse trials. Then, in part 4, we saw that godly wisdom starts with peace, arrives with gentleness, and brings wholeness. And last time, we talked about being different from the world around us, to listen to the Word of God, and then to do it. In other words, to live by the Word of God. That is, to practice what we preach. Unlike many of the religious leaders of Jesus' day, and unfortunately, unlike some of the religious leaders of this day. But I won't go into that. Last time we also talked about signs of healthy churches. That is, they contain healthy Christian lives who are growing. They are experiencing Spirit-led transformation. Before we finish our series on James, we have an opportunity to consider 4 more of James's short wisdom messages. As I said when we started the series, there are 12 of those in total throughout the book. Today we're just going to look at 2 of those, and then the final 2 next time in about a month when I'm back on Radio Church. And these 2 messages of wisdom both relate to the pitfalls of wealth and worry, both of which are fraught with danger. Wealth and worry taking over our lives are examples that highlight the bigger picture of where our priorities lay. Let's start out with a strong warning to the rich. It's not a sin to be rich, but if we are, beware of the pitfalls. So let's get into it. A warning to the rich. Not really a problem for me, but like I said, we're dealing with a principle of priorities. Let's keep that in mind as we go through it. We'll read from James chapter 5 and verses 1 to 6 in the New International Version, which starts out in verse 1 saying, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you." A parallel verse from the Gospel in Luke chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus said something similar, "Woe unto you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." In other words, he's saying that if enjoying your wealth has been your God, you can only expect sorrow ahead. You've already enjoyed your so-called happiness, and there's nothing left for you. Back to James chapter 5, now in verse 2, "Your wealth has rotted," James says, "and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days." Now, let's be clear once again, James is not putting down rich people or even money. We all need money to live, to feed our families and to get by in life, particularly in our Western culture. Money of and by itself is not the problem. It is the love of money that leads to evil. That's what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil. And Proverbs has plenty to say on that subject. Proverbs 3 and verse 14 says, "Wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold." Proverbs 8 and verses 10 to 11, "Choose my instruction," God says, "rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. nothing you desire can compare to it. And there's plenty more, but just one more from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 8. Better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. So it's all about, as I said before, wrong priorities. James then explains that pursuing wealth instead of godliness will cause you no end of troubles. Chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvest have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Verse 5 says, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You've fattened yourselves up in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. Basically, he's saying God is watching. Everything reaches his ears, he said in verse 4. It doesn't go unnoticed. We can't get away with taking advantage of people who fail to express godly love towards others. Condemned and murdered innocent men, he said. What does that mean? Well, it's referring to the poor, people who are defenseless. They were often forced to sell family members into slavery or were thrown into jail if they couldn't pay their debts. They often died of starvation. And James is saying that selfishly hoarding money, living self-indulgent lives, and exploiting employees and the poor to the point of death is murder. James is relating this to Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 6. So let's read what Jesus said about the pursuit of riches. Verses 19 to 21 of Matthew chapter 6, again from the New International Version. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, Jesus said, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And in verse 21, Jesus is recorded as saying, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is talking about more than just money. Yes, we do give generously of our tithes and offerings in support of his work here on earth, which is kind of like investing in heaven. And no, as you and I know, it is not attempting to buy our way into heaven. God doesn't sell indulgences. Treasure, though, also relates to how we spend our time and what we devote our effort to. That's why Jesus refers to where our heart is focused. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Our intention should be to seek the fulfillment of God's purposes in all that we do, including what we do with our money. Especially if we just happen to be wealthy and have excess money to our needs. We'll come back to Jesus' words in Matthew 6, but first let's move on to the second of our James short wisdom messages. This is number 10 in the series of 12. This one is not so much focused on wealth per se, but on the plans that we make. Now we turn to James chapter 4 and consider boasting about tomorrow. James chapter 4 and verses 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Here James is making a reference to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, which says, don't brag or boast about what you're going to do tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You've got no idea what's going to happen. James confirms this proverb's connection in verse 14 with, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. As we saw with wealth, James is not saying that it's wrong to make plans and to have goals. What he's saying is, don't make plans as if God doesn't exist. We're going to be disappointed if we leave God out of our plans, and if he is not our number one priority. The arrogance of wealth is that those caught up in it tend to believe that their wealth will be around forever. And James says it's not so. That's not how it works. It's not going to happen. And the same with our plans. What is your life? He continues in verse 14. You are mist that appears for a little while and then disappears. Life is short. Live for God today. And then no matter how long we live, we will have fulfilled God's plan for us. That in essence is what he's saying. In verse 15 of James chapter 4, he says, instead, what you ought to say is, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. So yes, make plans, but make them conditional. Now, the Apostle Paul set an example of this for us in Acts chapter 18 and verse 21. I won't turn there, but that's pretty much what he said. Now, in verse 16 of James chapter 4, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, then it is sin for them. The New Living Translation puts verse 17 this way. It is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. James's point is that sin is more than doing the wrong thing. It is not doing the right thing. There are sins of commission and sins of omission. Once again, we find the connection to Jesus' words found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 to 34. This time I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which makes it a little bit clearer for us. We'll start in verse 25 to set the scene. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Know this, basically, your wealth won't be around forever. It will rot, just like you, which is a reference to verse 19. Verse 25 continues, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Now, there's a big difference between worry and genuine concern. Worry immobilizes. Concern stirs us to action. Worry damages us in more ways than one. It affects our health. It consumes our thoughts. It realigns our priorities. It makes us less productive. It impacts our relationships with others, and it reduces our ability to trust God. God created us. Surely he can be trusted with the details of our life. When we don't trust him, then our efforts are misdirected. Matthew 6 and verse 28, Jesus continues, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing, and yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Verse 30 continues, and if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? He continues for us in verse 32 of Matthew chapter 6, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. As I said, it's about priorities. Seeking the kingdom of God above all else. Jesus is pointing out that that should be our number one priority, and living righteously is the flow-on effect from that. Now, without getting too much into the dangers of errant health and wealth false gospels, let's notice that James says that he will give us everything we need, not everything we want. For my mind, praying for God to give you that new car, especially if it's a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or something exotic, and not a new ute to help us do our job, is asking God to do magic tricks. That's not what he has promised. So when it comes to what we need, let's leave it up to God in His wisdom to determine what we need. So verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today is trouble enough for today." The key point Jesus is making here is don't let worries about tomorrow affect your relationship with God today. Yes, appropriate planning can alleviate worry, but how should we plan? Be sure that God is our priority in forming those plans. Make sure that we trust in His guidance. Be flexible if things don't work out how you intended. If it be God's will, that should be the underlying factor of any plans we make. Yes, worrying and the pursuit of wealth and our plans can be fraught with danger. And that is two more of the 12 short wisdom messages that James presents. We've just got two more to go, and they relate to what we've been talking about today. So next time, James presents us with more helpful wisdom to equip us so that we can positively respond to those warnings on wealth and worry. And he also warns and equips us against heretical teachings. Meanwhile, let me leave you with the charge to go and spread the joy, to bless God by blessing others, which is another way of saying bring joy to God by bringing joy to others.